Cause we got the alternative energy. Right. Nuclear free autonomy.
And welcome to the Radioactive Show, produced at the studios of 3CR Melbourne and heard nationally on the Community Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome to the Radioactive Show here on 3CR Community Radio. My name's Reed. I'm from the Friends of the Earth Nuclear Free Collective. One episode a month of the Radioactive Show is covered by the Nuclear Free Collective. And today we're bringing you excerpts from a workshop that the Nuclear Free Collective and Beyond Uranium Canberra delivered at a activist training camp in Lutra Vida last weekend, which was put on by Grassroots Action Network Tasmania. So, yeah, Uncle Winniata gets us started in the workshop and we'll take it from there.
Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. I pay my respects to Father, the sky, Mother Earth, and to all the people, to the ancestors of this land, the land of the dreaming. And yes, we're having a workshop on AUKUS, and I just pay my respects.
Thank you. Thanks, Uncle Winniata. Bretto, did you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Bretto. I've been involved sort of with the Anti-Nuclear Free Alliance for quite a while now. I first went out, was the collective, they had the Radioactivity Racism Tour, so it's Friends of the Earth. They did this trip. So I found out about it at Student Sustainability Conference in Monash. And then we had a trip out into South Australia and visited sites of out at Woomera where there was nuclear bombs and testing done in the 50s and 60s. Yeah, so I got involved there. We went for a trip. We went out to Uncle Kevin's country, Arapuna country, went out to Roxby Downs uranium mine, Kookatha. We went out to Andamutna country where Beverley uranium mine was at the time. And then we end up in having a Amphor gathering at the end of that. So yeah, I've been doing anti-nuke stuff for a while now. Was part of the walk last year too with some of the crews, the Walkers Against AUKUS, and also been involved in the campaigns to stop nuclear waste dumps throughout the country. So yeah, I think I went out on that Friends of the Earth trip, the Kunga Tudors that were fighting against a nuclear waste dump in Akuna Station. We went out there. They actually were successful and stopped that waste dump. So we got there at the end of that campaign. Also, Muckaty. There was a Muckaty waste dump in Northern Territory. Another successful campaign to stop a nuclear waste dump. So, yeah, been around for a while and still active. Just looking forward to this workshop and what other experiences other people have and how we can keep fighting the machine, yeah.
The history of nuclear on this continent kind of started with British nuclear bomb tests that happened in the 50s and 60s. Are people like
at Maralinga?
Yeah.
And the thing is, that was all organised at the ANU. University's got a lot to answer for climate change and for the genocide that happens on this land.
Mm. Yeah, so Maralinga in South Australia, Emu Field also in South Australia, and also in Montebello Islands, which are just off of WA, are sites of British nuclear tests that spanned 11 years, from 1952 to 1963. They were British nuclear tests with Australian permission. There were lots of small tests, but there were, in South Australia, there were 9 major nuclear bombs that went off, and in the Montebello Islands, there were 3. 600 minor ones, yeah. And they ranged, I guess, in terms of their size, but the big ones, one of them was many times more impactful in terms of nuclear contamination and explosion than Hiroshima was in Japan. And so we're talking about, like, really intense nuclear detonation that have caused contamination that is still means that you can't go to some of these places today. And yet a lot of people who grew up in this colony don't even know that these tests happened. There's the people whose countries were bombed were not made aware even that these tests were going to happen, and were in the fallout zone, and many people passed away from Aboriginal communities who were, their lands and their lives were considered worthless to the British and Australian militaries, and people died quite immediately, and then there's ongoing cancer in those families and permanent displacement from permanently contaminated country, or from very, very long time contaminated country.
Yeah, and Aunty Sue, who I mentioned before on the workshop, she's a survivor of the Malinga bomb tests. She's the president of the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance as well. And, yeah, talking to her, Sejuna, the town she lives in, which is has the highest rate of cancer in this country, and that's from the, it's like the intergenerational effects of radioactive poisoning. And you can look up something called the blacklist, so that's like the fallout from when the bombs go off and it gets like carried on the wind and stuff, and it covered the entire continent, and so the entire continent has been affected by nuclear fallout. And they still have children even now, like many generations later, that are still, you know, being born, like have birth defects and all of this kind of stuff because of the kind of intergenerational effects of radioactive poisoning. Does anyone have anything to add about the bomb tests?
I knew someone, she was possibly about 98, and I sat down and she said, "I just want to talk to you about a letter I sent to the Queen." And, she nursed her husband. He wasn't allowed to turn his head when the bomb went off at Maralinga, but employed by England. And, she was married to him. He did suffer after severely, but she nursed him, and she also became slightly, I don't know how serious, but radioactive. She wrote to the Queen and said, "You're the one who killed my husband because of you allowing that the bombing happened here in Australia." So, yes, there was also a lot of Aboriginal people were treated as guinea pigs during that bombing. They were not told that they were going to be testing on their land. Uncle Kev told me that. And, so we're just going through a different era now of turning this misery around. And the young people don't need misery in their future. Whatever challenge is ahead is ahead. But, we've got a little group in Canberra called Beyond Uranium Canberra, and we're down to two people because five of them are doing their PhDs to actually be a voice. But you don't need a PhD if you've got a passion to speak and a passion for your land, for your ancestors' land.
Can I say something too? When we went on the nuclear free trip with Friends of the Earth, we also Aben Hudson, who was one of the soldiers that was tested on as well. And, it was horrific for everyone, but the soldiers, they were used as guinea pigs too. A lot of them died of cancer, and they were, because they didn't actually actively fight in a war, they were never given war pensions and stuff like that. So they've had a big campaign too there just to try and recognise. And also they were heavily affected. They were there right on when they were bombing, they were right there a lot of the time, you know what I mean? And in that zone. So that's just another point for those tests as well. Yeah,
that's something that Anisu talks about a lot. I guess especially in terms of like the fallout from nuclear, it's like it's not gonna discriminate. It doesn't care if you're Aboriginal or not. Like, you know, everyone's getting fucked over by it. And yeah, they kinda use the same rhetoric like Robert was talking before about Terra Nullius, and that's what they were saying, that it was uninhabited land, there's no one there, so we're just gonna test the bombs there. Like, yeah.
Yeah, and they use that rhetoric as well around mining, uranium mining. But uranium mines, because this continent has about a third of the known uranium in the world, so it's a great place to stop it at the source. And, yeah, there's an incredible history of preventing uranium mining and waste dumps on this continent, and it's always all of the successful campaigns have been First Nations led and coming from a place of sovereignty and being
Western Australia. We've fought it many times.
Yeah. Do you want to say more?
No, just that we won so far.
Yeah,
still going.
It's still fighting.
Yeah. There's another proposed international dump, and it's in South Australia. The thing is that they're making a profound, stupid comment that it's safe for the dump to be at this place. I just can't remember the name of it at the moment, but they've said it's earthquake-free. They can't say that.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why they want that other dump.
I just wanted to maybe for a number of folks here mentioned they didn't know much about mining and uranium and the nuclear campaigns. And I was wondering if anyone wanted to speak to kind of just quickly, like, what happens, like, in terms of dumping, what do we mean by dumping, like where does it go?
I think when it comes to waste there, I guess so. There's different levels. There's nuclear waste that comes from the production of nuclear power or nuclear weapons, and then there's also like waste that comes from medicine. Yeah, that's true as well. Nuclear medicine is a whole field that produces quite low level nuclear waste compared to nuclear power and nuclear weapons, and then there's also waste that comes and exposure and radiation that comes from mining uranium. And largely there isn't really a solution for medium and high-level nuclear waste that has been found globally. So a lot of the plans to dump nuclear waste, they, in terms of, like, how that could be safe and how long it could be safe for, because it's stuff that lasts for hundreds of thousands of years, we don't really have an answer for that.
Like there's been, for example, like an example of sort of proposals for this storing of waste has been getting basically like huge vats that are supposedly like seal proof and leak proof and everything proof, and just like digging them in the ground and leaving them there. But that involves like transporting the waste, and there's like so many implications for that, and like the labor, and then if anything goes wrong and contamination in all of those steps, and then a big metal vat's unleakable when it's already in the ground, and taking it out of the ground just to make it poisonous and then put it back in the ground and destroy the waterways. And there's so many risks, and like that is something also that's spruced in like education systems as well, like nuclear is green energy, like it's clean, and it's obviously just propaganda.
And even before we come to the waste cycle in the mining process, there's the radon gas that's going out in the wind as well. And in warfare, they're using depleted uranium tips on weapons, which unfortunately has created waste sites like all over the world.
Yeah, and they've used depleted uranium in Palestine, like weapons that are used in Palestine.
And there's
as well.
No concept of how long. Mm. Like this is thousands of years. This is creating a situation that's going to last for thousands of years.
And it has to stay hidden and buried for thousands of years. And if humans are one thing, that cure it.
Yeah.
So stopping future people from thinking
it's insane. I'm going to prevent my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchild doing something. Seriously?
Yeah.
I like the systems that, like, the government and the mining companies have in place to keep those kind of safe is, like, so dodgy. Like, with some of the places around Rockby, like, they kind of have to constantly keep the tailings dumped where to prevent dust, and, like, that relies on water in this, like, arid zone where there's basically not a lot of water, and then that is, like, then depleting the only fresh water resources that they have. But I think that Australian nuclear industry tries to, like, really hold themselves as like, having, like, the highest standards in terms of safety and stuff, which I think is, like, when you actually look at what they are doing is, like, not true at all. Like, and especially, like, being able to ensure that those, like, so-called safety standards are met, like, over a long period of time, I think is, like, kind of laughable under, like, a condition of, like, climate collapse and like, yeah, I think it's kind of wild to, like, expect, like, the state to somehow be able to, like, prevent nuclear contamination over these, like, really vast periods of time.
Yeah, totally. And, yeah, at Roxby, they have the tailing dams, which you can see if you go on Google Maps and look up Roxby, you can see how large they are. And that's, like, yeah, all the waste from the processing of the ores to extract the uranium. And the way that they store it is... it's literally just a plastic sheet on the ground, and the tailings ends, like the tailings goes on top of that, and there's, like, obviously been found to have been rips and stuff in that plastic because it, like, obviously, why did that work? And then, yeah, that then leaks into the water table, and that mine site is on top of the Great Artesian Basin, which is, it's fresh water that's underneath the continent. It's underneath one third of the continent. And so that's where this radioactive waste is leaking into.
Right, I just, from listening to this morning's talk, and also just wanted to say in conversations that I've heard and been listened to stories, like, I just want to bring it back to consent as well. And, like, this struggle is ongoing, and there's just never been consent to any of this, and there's always been active resistance to this. And, like, obviously it's completely ridiculous, but I think it's important to ground it into the no, like, there's been no consent. It's just completely land grabbing for corporate greed. And I think, yeah, it's good to ground these conversations in the founding principle of just, like, land grabbing and looting and extraction of land that is just completely stolen and non-consensual in any way.
Yeah.
Just a quick comment. The thing about the dumping of nuclear waste is that the tried lead, thick walls of lead, but it leaks. Opposite of osmosis, which I can't remember. And, yes.
Just one thing too, like Beverly and Honeymoon uranium mines, they used in-situ leaching for mining, and that was banned throughout the world. We're only a few countries that have done it, and that waste is just pumped straight back into the groundwater. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that just, there is, I think what Flush was saying before, there's no answer. We haven't come up with an answer yet how to deal with it. So the waste we're producing, it's going to be, you know.
Yeah, and I think just to touch on what Flush was saying again, is, and Uncle Robbie earlier, is that, yeah, it's about native title, and that is how these projects get approved, is because First Nations people don't have the right to say no on the native title. You only have the right to negotiate. And
well, Garden Island is also an existing US place.
Maybe we want to talk about AUKUS for the last 15, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I have some, like, overarching AUKUS notes just to, like, catch everyone up to speed, and then we can maybe talk about the peace walk.
The walk.
The walk. the good bit. So AUKUS is Australia's biggest ever defence project. It's extremely expensive at $368 billion over 30 years. I'm sure we can all think of other things that could do with $368 billion and climbing. It's the current... The AUKUS plan is about nuclear-powered submarines shared with the UK, the US and Australia. And basically, the first... There's two parts to the plan, which they call pillars. Pillar one involves Australia buying 3 to 5 second-hand nuclear submarines off the US, which... I mean, yeah, lucky Australia, I guess, gets the opportunity to buy expensive secondhand hand-me-downs that will have their own nuclear waste issue that comes with them, and will also pay $3 billion to boost the US nuclear submarine production, just giving them money to improve their production, and then design and build new nuclear submarines for the US and the UK at some point, apparently. Yeah, and the US is openly talking about not selling the submarines to Australia anyway, which there's a lot of information about this in this zine. So if you want to know more about that, take a dive. Yeah, and then Pillar 2, which is supposedly going to happen much later, basically involves the US, the UK and Australia sharing tech and military expertise and surveillance around submarine activity, AI, undersea robotics and long-range hypersonic missiles and all of this stuff. It basically really intensifies the arms race with China, and Australia's military position with not wanting to go to war with China is part of the reason why the US is talking about not selling Australia the US submarines. Basically, they want to just park and operate these nuclear submarines out of Garden Island in WA and possibly South Australia as well. The South Australian Premier has just promised, I think, $30 billion to make a port in South Australia AUKUS ready. That's all taxpayer money.
Hangars, they call it. Hangars. Splash garages for submarines.
Yeah, exactly.
So they'll just give them $3.9 million for
billion.
For that, to start production of that.
Yeah.
About 2 weeks ago.
Sorry, I missed that. Can someone paraphrase that in a sentence?
South Australia is paying $3 billion to try to get a port in South Australia ready to host the AUKUS submarines. It's not the subs themselves, it's just the port, yeah. So Australia currently, supposedly nuclear weapons are illegal, but there's actually no law that, like, prevents nuclear weapons being brought into Australia or being launched from Australia. And the nuclear submarines will be nuclear-powered and also nuclear-capable, so, like, nuclear weapons-capable. Sorry?
The submarines will hold nuclear weapons.
They will be capable of doing so, and there's no legislation that stops the US from using them for that purpose.
The government says they do not, they neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah, there's a lot of secrecy. they basically won't confirm or deny, yeah, whether they'll hold nuclear weapons, and the US is not required to tell Australia at all whether or not there's nuclear weapons on the nuclear submarines.
It's kind of giving, like, empire once again, using, like, this continent as, like, a military base or, like, whatever.
And a nuclear site.
Yeah.
And a waste dump. And with the waste, there's no plan for AUKUS nuclear waste, which will be the highest level nuclear waste that is currently being managed on this continent. Currently, nuclear waste is managed by a regulator. Under AUKUS, they've created a new nuclear regulator, which is run by the military. So it will be kind of like cops investigating cops kind of vibe, in terms of the military will be managing AUKUS and supposedly managing the waste under military secrecy. And not from a perspective of health, but from a perspective of military capability.
Sure.
Yeah, at the end of July in Adelaide, there's going to be a lot of anti-nuclear action because Labor's having their conference there, and they have promised to sign the treaty for the prohibition of nuclear weapons in this political term, and they haven't, so we're trying to pressure them to do that, and also the AUKUS stuff. So just like stuff to keep in mind, if you've got the ability to travel in the middle of the year, then South Australia, there's going to be a lot going on.
Just one more thing. We would, again, the reason why we're going to walk to Adelaide, COP31 was going to happen there, but Turkey won the bid, and that's the reason why we're going to go. But we might as well just do it.
Yeah, I think it's important. Like, South Australia is a big part of this whole AUKUS deal. Port Adelaide could potentially be a spot for where they have the nuclear subs.
Thanks.
It's where they're mining uranium at currently, two active uranium mines. And there's been constant proposals for nuclear waste dumps in South Australia over years that have been fought by traditional owners and stopped. And there'll be more pressure for that in the future. So it's going to be a good place to build for.
You've been listening to a workshop which was held last weekend in Lutruwita at an activist camp organised by Grassroots Action Network Tasmania. Myself and others who are part of the Friends of the Earth Nuclear Free Collective teamed up with our friends at Beyond Uranium Canberra to discuss AUKUS in the context of the anti-nuclear movement in so-called Australia. We also did a bit of a soft launch of an anti-AUKUS peace walk that will happen in South Australia, most likely throughout September 2026. So keep an ear out for that one. You can get involved and stay up to date with the Nuclear Free Collective via the Melbourne Friends of the Earth website. Also in the workshop, a zine about AUKUS was handed out. You can access it too, thanks to our friends on the weekly 3CR show, A Friday Rave. For this and other wonderful resources, go to renegadeactivists.org for a PDF of the article, which offers an anti-militarist review of AUKUS. This has been The Radioactive Show. Stay tuned, and we'll be back at the same time next week.
We're not meant to have anything nuclear in our country.
It's really important and urgent that Australia gets serious about nuclear disarmament.
Well, nobody anywhere on the planet has figured out how to deal with highly radioactive waste.
Most of those who've managed nuclear weapons consider this to be the most dangerous time that we've ever lived in, with the danger of nuclear war at unprecedented levels.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.